Well, we're back. We're talking with Rosemary Pierce. She's a holistic pharmacist and has a real passion for helping people get better because you have somebody in your family that has is in pain, your husband. You mentioned before, you know, when we were talking about how this central sensitivity and low-grade inflammation can really affect, you know, people's sight, hearing, touch. Can it also affect people in terms of, you know, smell or taste when we're talking about, you know, these pains?
Yes, it does. It would make them, they're usually, as I said, more chemically sensitive. Mm-hmm. So smoke and different things can. Not everyone has every one of these symptoms, but it's very possible. Even textures and tastes. What we do know about autism is that there is an aspect of this on the autism scale as well. Not saying that everyone that has this is autistic, but with autistic children, sometimes they would not eat a certain type of food, and it wouldn't necessarily be the taste of the food. It could be the texture. Mm-hmm. And just by the chewing, that chewing can change directly into pain, just like the way I explained with light. So there are many different aspects of this, and usually there's more than one. Like if somebody has a little sensitivity into their eyes, that could very well be something to do with their eyes directly. But it's sort of when you start adding the picture up and realizing the high sensitivity, not just to physical things, but also to emotional things. Like there are some people that couldn't go. I did a talk at the Calgary Health Show. Some people wouldn't go to that kind of show because it's too overstimulating for them. Right? And it's really to just to recognize that that's real, even though one person in the family could do that, another might not be able to. And I think a lot of it has to do with accepting these differences. And that's why I recommend people read The Highly Sensitive Person, so they can start to go, oh, this happens with horses. This happens with groups of animals that we do have a certain group percentage, about 20, that have this nervous system, and they are the forewarners of danger. Because with flight or fight, you really do have to have the sensitivity to know when danger is coming, right? Not so much do we have the saber-toothed tiger anymore, but that's the system.
So we have 20% of the population that is in pain, you know, according to what you're saying. From working with your husband and from working with other people and from your research, what are some of the foods that can either cause us pain or that can alleviate some of that pain? Let's start with that first.
Okay. Well, first of all, we've developed, we meaning those of us in the health industry, and I'm thinking of Julie Danilek especially, who's so wonderful with her anti-inflammatory cookbook and diet, right? Mm-hmm. That would be the first suggestion I would say to people, that if they're really, it's multidisciplinary how you have to approach this. So you do have to change things in your lifestyle, move out of highly stimulating environments, at least until you get your nervous system calmed down. Have to have diet that's going to promote reduction of inflammation. And of course, one of the big areas that you and I have talked about through the years, and that is gut health. Have to take and in an anti-inflammatory diet, gluten would not be there. Mm-hmm. Because most people will react to gluten. It'll cause inflammation. It'll cross the blood-brain barrier as well as the intestinal barrier. It'll get into the and cause havoc in the brain. And, of course, it's going to affect the nervous system directly there, as well as the nervous system that is connected with the enteric nervous system, with our digestive system. So gut health, anti-inflammatory diet, taking out a lot of the omega-6 oils, the trans fats, the partially hydrogenated fats. I mean, those are some of the biggest ones. And I can give you one more piece that's new in my research, and that is for somebody who's listening to that and go, oh, I eat so healthy and I've done it for so long. Well, you might be concentrating oxalates. Have you come across that, Dave, yet?
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we often think of oxalates in the form of kidney stones.
Yep.
So that's got a bit to do with a predisposition. And then if a person doesn't eat properly in the sense of that their body is always slightly acidic, they don't have a good pH balance, then they'll pull calcium out of their bones and they'll form kidney stones. Mm. So that's one form of oxalates, and they're calcium oxalates. But oxalic acid is found in just about all of the good health foods that we would tend to migrate to if we're wanting to eat a healthy diet. So the oxalates are highest in foods like spinach, mm-hmm. parsley, chocolate, good, you know, even if you're eating good organic 75% dark chocolate. But they're also high in
kale.
Kale, but the curly kale.
Okay.
It's not. If somebody's really interested in this, by the way, and they have an iPhone, I have now got a little app called Oxalator.
Okay.
So I can look up, because we have reduced the oxalates. We've often done green smoothies in our house, and that they're great. But if you're doing green smoothies and eating a lot of kale, nuts, like pecans are high, walnuts aren't, but almonds are. Cashews are, macadamia nuts. So if you eat a lot of these nuts and, you know, drink almond milk, make yourself smoothies with a lot of these greens that are high in oxalates, oxalates can actually accumulate, or oxalic acid can accumulate as oxalates and cause pain. Mm. They can accumulate and it might be part of the syndrome, for people who are focused on spinach salads, for example. And so oxalates will accumulate when the body is in a slightly acidic state. So that pulls us back to pH balancing, which is another thing that I have often talked about with you that's so important. So pH balancing the body, I use Morning Rise and Shine, and that's my, because it has citric acid, and citric acid, and it's about 30% citric acid in a drink that's based on lemon and citrate minerals, etc., will help to neutralize the pH and allow the oxalates to flush out. That's what we want them to do. We don't want them to accumulate in the kidneys, and we certainly don't want them accumulating in the bladder, the brain, the thyroid, any other tissue. And so if somebody has a pain syndrome and they are eating really well, then it might be that they've accumulated too many oxalates. So that Oxalator app, I don't know if I haven't checked if you can get it on a non-iPhone, but definitely it's a free app for the iPhone. It's a wonderful thing to do. And the other thing that I use, and this is another reason why magnesium is so valuable. Mm-hmm. If you take magnesium or magnesium citrate, with me I would use MagForce, or a good calcium magnesium citrate tablet or capsule with your meals, it helps the oxalates not be absorbed. So if we're eating kale, we'll still do it, but we'll make sure we have a lot of magnesium citrate in during that mealtime, and use 2 Morning Rise and Shine drinks with all that citric acid. Another good reason to lemonize your food. So that can be very helpful. So the diet is basically anti-inflammatory, with this caveat to watch your oxalate content. If you happen to be eating this way for a long time and not seeing results,
what supplements would you use for people getting, you know, they want to get rid of pain?
Well, as the magnesium, right?
Yeah.
And so then what I would do personally is always be sure that the enzymatic system in the body is working.
Okay. So enzymes.
Enzymes, both digestive, mm-hmm. but also internal, what we call systemic enzymes. And we've had a number of different ones, like Wobenzym is one that's been around for a long time. My preference has been to go to the most potent one that I know as an individual, and that's serrapeptase. And so serrapeptase has been a staple. I take it even though I'm not in a pain syndrome, I take it in small quantities, more like a cardiovascular conditioner, because these enzymes get absorbed in the body, and then they reduce plaque buildup. They reduce inflammation in the circulatory system. They kind of, to me, I take it, and I'm 67, so I take it instead of an aspirin. Mm. Right? So in a low dose, just every day, empty stomach first thing. If I was suffering from, which I did, I actually slipped on the ice mid-December and had banged my knee really well, did the split. So I would up it then. Mm-hmm. So I moved up to 4. First thing in the morning of a serapeptase. And of course, the one I use is Seraforce. So Seraforce is the brand that I have formulated and worked with. And so we do that with my husband as well on a regular basis. So because whenever you have a pain syndrome and you know you have inflammation in the body, there's going to be this larger buildup of dead tissue. And if that accumulates around the cells, cells can't function properly. They can't reduce the toxic load. And so, and even with an injury, if somebody has an injury, the anti-inflammatory drugs will reduce the immune system inflammatory compounds, but they do not mop up the damage.
Yeah.
With something like Seraforce, what you're doing is you're both reducing the inflammatory compounds so that they don't act like dominoes and keep, you know, just causing more and more inflammation. You're also dissolving the dead protein.
Rosemary, we're right out of time, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been fascinating having you, and I think we had a great conversation. If people want more information, where's the website where they can go?
Well, they could look at my website, yeah, which is holistic-pharmacist.com. I have articles on there on enzymes and on serapeptase. Yeah.
Rosemary, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. Have a good day.
I want to thank you for listening as listeners and producers across the country that are making the show available to you. I want to especially thank Alan Wishart, our producer here at CFIS, and have a great, healthy week, and I hope you listen in next week where we talk more about your health.
The Treasure Cove Casino proudly presents Treasure Cove Bingo with 4 sessions daily, 11 a.m., 2:30 p.m., and 6:15 and 10 p.m., featuring cash draws every hour on the hour. The Treasure Cove Casino, located at the junction of Highways 16 and 97. Know your limit, play within it. Must be 19 years of age or older.
Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Prince George Prostate Cancer Support Group meets Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cordoban Lodge, 1100 Allward Street. This group, formed by the Rotary Club of Prince George, has been designed to provide a forum that men and their families living with prostate cancer can utilize to share their stories and learn more about this disease that no longer has to be a death sentence. On Friday, from 1:30 to 2:30 at the Prince George Chateau, 4377 Hill Avenue, the group of visiting therapy dogs will come to the building to mingle with the residents. If you would like more information, call 250-564-0202.